for average people, for most people in the world, today is Monday. But for people who understand greatness, for people who are committed to being the best, for people who are committed to getting the most done, today is not Monday. Today is really
Jaguars Monday with JP Shadrick, Jaguars great Tony Boselli, and CBS Sports senior writer Pete Prisco.
I'm the number one draft pick. I'm Tony Boselli. They said fly the planes for me when I hurt my knee.
That's
everybody
true.
Else has to fly commercial.
That's true.
And then
I've got a burger named after me.
I don't remember little peons like John.
That's Moore. Not true. I remember you, Pete.
Now, to kick off Jaguars Monday, here's JP Shadrick.
Here we go, Jaguars Monday, a playoff edition. The Jaguars are in with a win over the Houston Texans yesterday, 45-7. That secures a playoff berth for the Jacksonville Jaguars for the first time since the 2007 season. JP Shadrick with you in Jacksonville. Pete Prisco is down in South Florida as always, but tonight, the pride of the Jaguars left tackle, Tony Boselli, is filling in on Monday night football duties from Raymond James Stadium in Tampa. And what's up, guys? How we doing?
We might actually get a word in
JP?
Twice today with him not being
Hey, quiet. Hey, Pete. No, listen. No. This is still my show. You will talk when you are allowed to. No other
You're
time.
You're the sidekick. That's what you are on this show.
Yeah, right. That's
listen.
What, yeah.
There's only one of us who can fit in a sidecar, and that's you.
That's true. Do you don't think JP
So you're
can
the sidecar? I'm driving
you
it.
You don't think JP? You don't think JP?
What's that supposed to mean, Tony? Thanks. Jeez.
Have you seen him lately?
No. He doesn't look big to me.
Thank you, Pete. I appreciate that. That's real nice.
Trust me.
That's real nice.
The buttons are stretching around the belly area of the shirt.
Fat ball season.
Well, it is fat ball season. Yeah. You do know that, Tony. Even Dr. DPSSSODSO can't save you from fat ball season.
Yeah, it's not gone well.
Especially
for me this year,
in Tampa,
Pete.
With the press box food there tonight. Get ready.
Yeah, I know. Tell me he's not going to get one of those sundaes.
Bananas
at
Foster. Come on.
It's
now.
Bananas Foster's. Let's get it right. Yeah. I already had a Cuban sandwich.
One?
I've had a sauce. Yes, I will. It's sacrilege if you don't. My goodness.
Why are you doing the game, by the way?
The person who was supposed to do Monday night had a personal issue come up last minute. I got a phone call late last night and asked if I could drive down to do it because the person who was supposed to do it had something come up family-wise.
So who are you doing the game with?
Me and Kevin Harlan.
Oh, that's my guy, Kevin. Tell him I said hello. I love Kevin Harlan.
I will for sure. Yeah, so it'll be good. It'll be fun. It's I've done a lot of games for Western One Thursday night, obviously every week, but this will be my first Monday night game in the booth, and I'm looking forward to it.
What a way to celebrate a Jaguars playoff berth!
How great! First of all, let's cut to the chase.
Yes,
yeah, this team right now is. If we were doing power rankings, Pete, I'd probably put them number two, maybe one.
No, you would
in the
not.
AFC. In the AFC, yes.
Okay.
AFC. Maybe one.
No, you would not.
Why not, Pete?
Why not? Yes, I would.
But I will say
they're ahead of they're ahead of Pittsburgh.
Why? They got a worse record.
And the only reason they beat the heck out of them, and with Antonio Brown's calf injury, and I don't care what he says, he will not be 100% in the playoffs if it's a real calf pull. Those are treacherous to come back from, especially if you're a skill guy. And we already beat the brakes off them. I mean, give me a break. It wasn't even close. It was a complete butt-whooping. This is right now, only because Tom Brady's on the other team, I'm going to let them be one. But I still, it would be a pick'em game if on a neutral field I give them a slight edge in Foxborough. But this is the second-best team in the AFC.
Well, I can't put them at number two because of the record. But I say this, after the last couple of weeks, your Super Bowl prediction isn't as outrageous as it was when you made it, okay? They legitimately.
It wasn't outrageous then. I was just right.
Yeah.
I was right. Just
no,
say
it
I was right.
That was before Blake Bortles found out who he is and is playing like lights out. But it was outrageous. It's not now. They can go to New England and win. They can go to Pittsburgh and win. They can go anywhere and win. They can go beat any of the NFC teams. If Blake Bortles plays the way he's playing right now, the way he's played over the last 3 weeks, they can beat and play with anybody in the NFL.
Pete, welcome to my thinking. I said it.
You had no idea Bortles would play this way, so I don't know what you're talking about.
No, but Pete, if you remember what I said, if you would just shut up for a second, what I said was, if they get the average, minimum average, but even a little bit above average quarterback play, and play the way they have on defense and good special teams, I said they go to the Super Bowl. I said it. They are playing, but he's playing even better than that. Tell me, if this team plays Pittsburgh and Bortles is playing like this, who are you picking, Pete?
Probably Jacksonville.
Yeah. If they're playing New England and Bortles is playing like this, who are you picking?
That's tough to go against Brady in New England.
No.
Do it, Pete. Come on.
No,
I'm picking Jacksonville, by the way.
Yeah, but
that's because you don't know what you're talking about.
Tony, I how about this, though? I went back and did the research today on Bortles. In the last three games, in the first three quarters, they've thrown on half of their first down plays in the last three games. Half.
You were
24 points.
We both agreed on that.
Out of the 31. Yeah, but I was more vocal about it than you were.
You were first. You were first. I get it. I'll give it to you. As long as you give me the fact that they're in Minneapolis, I called it.
Yeah, well, you know what? If they get to Minneapolis, I'll say you called it because you did.
Wow.
This defense, and I just go back to why I said it. It was not because I thought Blake Bortles was going to play this good. I just said if he can play above a little bit above average, if you look in recent history, the best defense in the NFL when you're that good can carry a team to the Super Bowl. We've seen it. Denver, Seattle. I mean, those were two instances where the best defense carried them there. And especially in a year where who's the dominant team? There isn't one.
Right. There isn't one. There is none. There's no dominant team in the NFL, which is why they can make a run in the playoffs. But it also is why because there's no dominant team, including them, which is why they have to be careful when they go to San Francisco this week.
Yeah, they're playing better.
Oh, this game scares me.
Niners are playing better right now. Garoppolo's
three in a row.
Playing
right.
Well, sure, the whole thing.
Right. And
three in a row since Garoppolo got there.
Yeah, they beat the Bears, who stink. They beat the Texans, who clearly stink. And you saw that yesterday. And they beat the Titans, who aren't very good right now either, though. So, look, Garoppolo's playing good, but it's still a be careful game. Because traditionally, what is Jacksonville? I haven't looked it up. Have you, JP, what their record is on the West?
Like 1-10, 1-9 all time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not good.
Yeah.
No.
It's not good. And Tony has been involved in some of those games where you went to the West Coast. They've had problems.
Yes. Not
so
good.
Why is
but
that,
I'll say
Tony?
This.
Why is that?
I don't know. I have no idea because we were a good team and we lost out there. This one scares me. And I said it, and JP, you and I talked about it.
Yeah.
And I've said it from the beginning. I was not worried about Houston. I thought we'd beat the brakes off them. This one scares me. Now, the one thing that what happened on Sunday that I think helps the situation, the fact that Tennessee lost and that they can secure the division title this weekend, I think that gives them a little bit more focus. I think that helps. But if that game wasn't on it and everything was going to ride on the last week, regardless of what happened in San Francisco, that's when I was worried. Because that's when it's so easy just to get focused on the end of the last game of the season and everything else of what's ahead of you, and you go into San Francisco, which is a tough place to play. I mean, not a tough place to play, but a team that's playing well and a tough place to travel to is what I meant. And things can get sideways quick. With them having the division on the line as far as the title, and if they win, they have secured a home playoff game, I think they'll be ready. Not that they wouldn't be ready, but I think they'll even be more focused, and I'm less worried because of that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think with the division title on the line, it'll keep them focused, and otherwise they might drift a little bit because of clinching a playoff spot and, you know, maybe worrying about the next week. You know, because, look, let's face it. If Tennessee had won yesterday, then this game really wouldn't have mattered much, right, for either one of them, because the winner of the last game would have been the team that wins the division. Isn't that right, if I play that right?
That's about right, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Well, unless the Jaguars won and the Titans lost, then it still wouldn't have mattered. Because they had a game lead no matter what.
Right,
you're right, Pete. We're saying the same thing. It's close enough. Let's not get into detail.
Yeah.
It's close enough.
But the bottom line is the fact they can win a division will keep them focused on a long trip. Are they going out on Friday, by the way?
No, Saturday. Normal trip. Normal trip.
Wow, okay. All right.
I like that. I'm happy about that, too.
I bet you're happy about it because you don't have to go on Friday. That's good for you.
I don't believe in traveling Friday if you're an East. I don't believe in traveling on a Friday if you're a East Coast team.
If you're that guy,
if I was a
If you're that good of a football team, it shouldn't matter where you travel, right?
If I was a head coach, I would not leave early from the East Coast. Would never do it.
All right, so they're going out on Saturday. This is a we both agree this is a be careful game, though.
Yes.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Well, with that said, because the division's on the line, I think they win. They're in. Home game. How about that? Home playoff game. Pete, will you come to the home playoff game?
No, I'll be working down here.
Oh, come on, Pete.
Pete, you got to talk to CBS. We're going to have to get you assigned up here.
Why? Were they gonna dedicate the press box to me?
We're going to honor you at halftime.
Hey, Tony, but if they win this week, if Jacksonville wins this week, right, they lock up the three seed, right? Is that correct? If Pittsburgh wins,
yes,
they lock up the three seed. They don't have to play. So going into the final week, that game would mean nothing other than the fact you can pick who you want to play almost. Right? If Tennessee beats, you can almost pick who you want to play. If you want to play Buffalo or
Baltimore. This is what I do, Pete. This is how I look at it. But if we win, and I think the Titans are going to lose to the Rams, if you're asking me. I just don't see them beating the Rams.
I do, too.
And so if I'm the Jags then, I play all my frontline guys and beat the brakes off them and knock Tennessee out of the playoffs.
Ooh, I like it. I like it.
Because you don't want to play them again. No. You don't want to play them. You'd rather play Buffalo, right?
Rather play Buffalo or Baltimore.
That's right.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
I don't like playing division teams in the playoffs. Too many things can happen. There's too much familiarity. I mean, and Tennessee already beat the brakes off us early in the year, so they have confidence. I think I bury them. I bury them, and I just put the doubt in their mind that you have no chance and you're done for the year.
And then if they were playing for – here's the thing. If they were playing – if Jacksonville clinches the division and Tennessee's playing for their lives to get in, right, they can play them a third time. We know how that's played out in history.
Oh, great.
Yeah, we don't want to do that.
No. No.
Neither of you can see me right now, but I've started shaking.
Hey, let's come back, guys. We'll get a little more into Blake Bortles' day. And who the heck is he throwing the football to? A lot of young guys
playmakers
on the field. We'll break down.
Hey, you know what, Pete? I want to talk about Blake Bortles. I got a bone to pick with you and your brethren.
Me?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm gonna take it. I got issues with you guys.
Some bone picking to come. Your calls in the second hour. 355 NFL 1. Tony Buscelli's in Tampa. Pete Prisco in Fort Lauderdale, J.P. Shadrick in Jacksonville. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
It's, obviously, I think kind of everybody knowing the history of the organization to be able to say that, you know, we were part of the group that broke that and kind of changed the culture and changed the narrative about the Jaguars is special. But I think it's a never-ending battle, you know, just because you do it 1 week or you do it for a couple of weeks or for one season, it's something that we got to find a way to make consistent on a weekly basis and on a yearly basis.
There's your quarterback, Blake Bortles, last night after the Jags beat the Texans 45-7. Jaguars Monday continues. J.P. Shadrick in Jacksonville, Pete Prisco in South Florida, Tony Buscelli at Raymond James Stadium in Tampa. They'll put Total Leather coming up a little bit later for Monday Night Football, as Gene Deckerhoff says. You had a bone to pick, Tony.
Yeah, before I get there, Blake just said something that kind of spurred a thought. Mm. This is a team that if they can make a 4 or 5 year run, really take advantage of the window they have, they will be remembered like the early 90s team. Because Blake's right. It's been such a long drought that it's not the same as the expansion because it was so brand new. But they will get this new generation of Jaguar fans will fall in love with this group like the original Jaguar fans fell in love with our team. And if they win a Super Bowl, they'll surpass what our group did, obviously. But I think this will be a special – this team has an opportunity to do something special historically for this franchise just because Blake's right. They've broken a drought. And I think they'll be the group of players will be loved in this city for a long time.
I tend to agree with you, Tony. And you know what it is? The difference now between when you guys were playing, this is a passionate fan base now that grew up with the team rather than one that had inherited the team. And so
I agree, Pete. It's almost Pete. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, it's a younger group that was agonizing in '99 when you guys lost in the championship game, rather than inheriting the team because they wanted to be seen and go to the game just to be part of the whole thing. You know what I mean? They live for this now. So I think it's a different crowd. This group is a much more passionate fan base than the group that followed you guys.
I love the fan. I mean, what I saw as a player with the fans in Jacksonville, I mean, signs in our neighborhood and lining the streets when I went home, I mean, that was, I mean, memorable. But this is a different fan base because you're right, Pete. Our fans loved us, but they also grew up rooting for other teams. This group has not, they're Jaguar fans. That's it. And I think it's a great opportunity for this group of guys. And I hope they take advantage of it because selfishly it'll be fun for all of us if they win year in and year out for a while here.
And you know what, Tony?
They have a chance.
And you know what else, too? This group has lived through a lot of hurt. The fans that were early fans didn't have to live through a lot of hurt. You know what I mean? So there's a big. These guys have been jaded for a long time. They grew up with the pain. The group early on, they didn't have much of pain. 96, you went to the championship game, and then right after that, you were one of the contenders every year. So that's the one thing that I think is the biggest difference. These guys have agonized about bad losses, and they've lived through a lot of bad years.
And, Pete, remember when we were that first Jaguar group, we were always competing against the Gators and the Seminoles. Remember that? Remember the feeling
correct.
That, you know, yes, we were the NFL, but the Gators and Seminoles were just as big and some minds bigger than we were. It's not like that. The Jaguars own Jacksonville now. The Gators and the Seminoles are secondary. Not in a bad way. Nothing wrong with it. My son goes to Florida State. I'm a huge Seminole fan. I want them to win. I mean, I've got a vested interest there. But it is a Jaguar city, and it's a lot of fun. And I just think if this team continues to win, it is going to be a special place to be on at Everbank every Sunday.
Yeah, I'm going to guess the
You know
Gators...
when that changed, by the way? Well, sorry, JP, but you know when that changed?
Yeah. When?
The Gators won a national championship. I forget what day of the week it was, and then Jacksonville, you guys went out and beat Denver that same week, and nobody was talking
about
the Gator championship. That's when it changed.
Yeah, I'm going to guess the Gators and Noles don't get 28 ratings in Jacksonville. That's my guess on television either.
Is that what the rating was yesterday?
It was in the high 20s again, yeah.
Wasn't it like a 40-something share, JP?
Right, yeah, from what I saw from the tweets a little earlier, yeah. So not as much as the Seahawks game, but pretty darn close. So people are watching.
A lot of people jumping on that bandwagon, it sounds like, JP.
Hey, there's room. There's room, Pete. There's room on this hill. Come on. Let's go. What's your bone to pick?
And it's not really with Pete, but it's with Pete's people.
What does that mean?
You're part of the people now, too. I hate to tell you that.
What does that mean, Tony?
You're right. Well, it's the national media in general, and even just the national perspective.
You're on Monday Night Football Radio. You're part of this tonight.
Okay, it's me and Pete's brethren. How about that? Are you guys happy now?
Sure.
Yes.
At some point, and Pete has done a great job, all joking aside, of putting out on Twitter the truth about Blake Bortles. The truth is this. Blake Bortles is playing quarterback at a higher level than any other quarterback in the NFL right now. He just is. The numbers say it. The way they're winning says it. The way he's playing saying it. And at some point, he needs to be recognized as playing great football and not, well, it's Blake Bortles. You know, it's the defense. Oh, they got Blake Bortles. And kind of qualifying everything the guy does. And I hope, for the team's sake, but also for Blake's sake, that he continues to play. I don't think he's going to continue to play at, you know, 140 quarterback rating, because no one does. But I hope he continues to play at a high level. And the conversation changes where I'm not saying Blake is going to be considered a top five quarterback or even a top 10 quarterback. Maybe this, no matter what he does this year. But he needs to be considered in the top half of quarterbacks in the NFL because he is playing at an extremely high level right now. And I'm tired of hearing no one give him the credit he's due.
I agree with you, Tony. And again, I was just doing a preview video with with Brady Quinn, and we were talking, and again, somebody, he didn't say it, but we made mention of it. What if he goes out to San Francisco and doesn't play well? Immediately the narrative will go back to being, oh, those were an aberration, he's not any good, right? I mean, it changes right away, doesn't it?
And that's not fair, because last Thursday night I watched Matt Ryan throw three picks and struggle and almost, I mean, they won the game, but he was not good. I watched Russell Wilson against the Jaguars, who, and he's a heck of a quarterback, throw three interceptions. Aaron Rodgers coming back after injury, couldn't beat the Panthers and threw three picks. So it happens. I've saw Tom Brady against the Miami Dolphins look awful. In this league, there are going to be days when you play the quarterback position and it just doesn't go your way. And that should, it's not fair just be, if he does have a below average game, that all of a sudden what he's done for the better half of the season is thrown away.
He's clearly a different quarterback. Clearly a different quarterback. Confidence is through the roof. He's stepping up. His movement in the pocket has been sensational. Stepping up and making throws and accuracy has been good. And the ball has been spinning. And to me, again, I go back to what we've talked about it all year long. Tony, first down throws, he's a different dude. He's just a different guy. He plays different. He throws it different. You know, you do realize this? They've had five giant pass plays in the last 3 weeks. Four of those, including the 75-yarder, 73-yarder, have come on first down throws. Wow. He's a much better quarterback
when
he throws on first down.
Well, Peter, I think it's even more than just first down. And I think it's important, and we've been talking about it on our broadcast. When Nathaniel Hackett comes out and allows him to throw early and he gets in a rhythm, he's a different guy. If he doesn't get in the, he's a rhythm player. He still is that. I mean, he's not, and that's why he's not elite yet. But he is a rhythm passer, and when he gets in a rhythm early and they allow him to get in a rhythm because of those early throws, boy, he's good. I mean, the throws he's been making down the field have been remarkable. I mean, not just good, remarkable throws. And I think that is a key. And, Pete, you did hit on it way before I did and before most people did, of saying get this kid in a rhythm early and let him play. And they have, and, boy, it's paying off.
Yeah, my only concern going forward is if they do play a big game, if somehow they get in the mindset, now we can go back to playing good defense and run the ball. Because they clearly have shown that he can do it. And granted, Seattle was coming off a big win when they showed up, so they were a good opponent, even though they looked like crap yesterday. But when you go on the road and you play Pittsburgh, you go on the road and you play New England, don't change just to change because it's the playoffs. Go do what you've been doing now. Go continue to be that kind of team. And that's my only concern. Do you think they will, Tony? Do you think now they go on the road and they play Pittsburgh or New England that they're going to allow them to throw on early downs?
I do think so, Pete. I think Doug Marrone, Nathaniel Hackett, they know what they have and how they have to play to win football games. My bigger concern than that, Pete, the one thing we haven't seen yet is what happens when they're down seven in the fourth and they have to put together a drive, a two-minute drive, or a game ending. They're down by three and they got the ball to win it. How does he respond in that moment? That's the one thing we haven't seen this year. We haven't seen him. And the one time we did against the Chargers, they ended up winning the game, but he was bad in those situations, throwing a couple picks.
But he was also good the third quarter in that game to get them. That was one of his best drives.
Sure. He threw it every play, remember?
I'm just talking. Sure. I agree with
right,
that.
You're talking
I'm just
about talking crunch time fourth quarter.
Yeah. Crunch time. That's the one thing we haven't seen this year from Blake Bortles. And in fairness to him, he really hasn't had that many opportunities. They've been in control of fourth quarter games for the most part. That is going to be the test.
Yeah, I agree. Right. And maybe he gets that test this week. Because that would be a good thing to see, right? If the game's close in the fourth quarter and he drives seven.
I'd like to see it before the playoffs, Pete.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, let's go.
Because you know it's gonna happen in the playoffs. I don't care how good you are. In the playoffs, you're playing tight games, and you're going to have to win it at the end.
All right, guys,
let's
come back.
One more thing. By the way, JP, there's one more thing that concerns me about this team on the defensive side of the football. One more major thing, and we'll talk about it after the break.
Listen to the tease from Pete Prisco.
Oh, he's a pro. He's a pro.
Professional teaser over there in South Florida. Check out Jack and Ania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. Your calls in the second hour. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
I mean, it's a proud moment to just see everything. Everybody's kind of getting that groove, like I said last week. It's just working for us right now. We got that swag right now. We're playing fierce. We're playing fun. We're playing some good ball.
Jalen Ramsey, Jaguars cornerback after the game yesterday. 45-7 the final. Jaguars Monday, J.P. Shadrick, Pete Prisco, Tony Boselli. Hey, by the way, guys, sources say the share of the game yesterday was 46 in Jacksonville. The Gators range between 14 to 18 in Jacksonville. Television ratings.
It's not even close anymore.
Thanks, Tad Dickman.
Nope, not Tad Dickman.
No?
Nope.
No?
Other sources. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So there you have it. All Jags all the time.
That's impressive.
It is. So defense, we heard from Jalen there. You had one thing, Pete, that is left to fix.
And it's a little small pick apart type of thing, but and Tony will agree with me on this, I think. Tony, on a lot of the great teams over the years, they've had the hand on the ground, speed up the field, elite pass rusher that can do it in the fourth quarter. And I'm not talking about a group. I'm talking about that guy, like Von Miller, guys of that stature. Mike Strahan when he was playing. Do the Jaguars have that in any way, shape, or form? I know they have a lot of guys and they have a lot of good pass rushers, but do they have that?
I mean, they don't have Von Miller, but how many teams do? I would compare them more, Pete, to the Seattle Seahawks pass rush group, where you had Cliff Averill and
Michael Bennett.
Who else was Michael Bennett in that group?
Chris Clement.
Yeah, Chris Clemens. I mean, Ngakoue is a very good pass rusher. You got Calais. You got Malik Jackson, who's playing at an extremely high level. You got Dante Fowler, who at times can threaten the edge. And so you do have those guys who have the ability to really put a lot of heat on a quarterback. But, no, they don't have Von Miller. They don't have Strahan. But that's okay. I mean, it's like the Seattle group because they have really good pass rushers. And I think Ngakoue has the opportunity to be a great pass rusher. He's not at greatness yet. He's really, really good. But as a group, I think they have plenty of pressure when it matters to get to the quarterback.
Okay. I you know what I mean, though. There's usually that guy that you can count on. Strip sack, fumble, turnover, game over. And I think this group, while I think it's impressive what they've done, I think they do it more as a group together. For example, remember the old 85 Bears? They had Dan Hampton. He could rush the passer. They had a bunch of guys who could rush the passer. But Richard Dent was the guy that if you had to have the big play, he made it. You know what I mean? I don't know if they have that guy yet. I mean, maybe, like you mentioned, maybe Ngakoue will grow into that, but he isn't there yet.
He comes up with really big plays when it matters.
He's
Pete.
Had some flashes now.
I know.
He can go get the strip sack and get turnovers.
And Calais is pushing the pocket. I'm telling you right now, the last 4 or 5 weeks, Malik Jackson has been dominant rushing the passers inside.
Yeah, he's been phenomenal.
So I think as a group, Pete, they're pretty. I mean, listen, no, they don't have Von Miller. But how many Von Millers are in this league that just in the fourth quarter you're just holding your breath every play because he's so dominant?
Right, but I'll give you another team, the Rams. Robert Quinn has been one of those elite pass rushers over his
career. Not anymore. I'll take Ngakoue over Robert Quinn right now.
Well, I don't know. He was pretty darn good yesterday.
I'm just telling you right now, I'll take Ngakoue over.
Okay.
I mean, the guy I worry about for the Rams is Aaron Donald. That's the guy you have to concern, not Robert
Quinn. He had three sacks. What's Fowler's injury? Didn't he get banged up yesterday?
Hamstring, but he finished the game.
Yeah, he came back in the game, and Doug didn't really have anything to say about him today.
How did he play, Tony?
He got a sack after he was diagnosed with the hamstring injury too.
How did you think he played? Because I think he needs to he needs to come up big in the postseason. I think he's big for their postseason.
So I think he's leveled off the last 4 weeks, Pete. And
yeah.
He has at times been a little bit of a liability even in the run game, getting reached by defensive ends, and that has been a problem. So I don't think his play has been as good the last 4 or 5 weeks as it was early in the season.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird because I thought he had turned the corner early in the season and kind of went back the other way.
So that's the only thing you got, Pete, is the lack of a true guy to close.
We got the number one defense in the league in scoring and turnovers. And I mean, yeah, it's hard to pick. And that's being nitpicked.
See,
I was going to
say something else, Pete. I'm more concerned about the run game.
Yeah, at times.
Because they still get soft at times in the run.
Not like they were earlier in the year, though. I mean, they straightened it up a little bit once Darius came around.
What'd they give up last week against Seattle?
Yeah.
I mean, they gave up a bunch of yards.
Yeah.
And they had a couple drives where they were gashing them. And that's the one concern I have.
But, Tony, isn't it more like misfits and that kind of thing than getting pushed around?
Yes. But it does worry me, Pete, because it'll come out of nowhere. Like, they'll be dominant and just be shutting down the run, and no one can move it an inch. And then all of a sudden, you'll have a series or two, they're getting gashed. And that's what worries me.
Yeah, like in the second half late in the second quarter against Seattle.
Yeah, they had those four straight plays.
They went to sleep. Yeah.
And it's similar in the passing game, too. They'll give up a bust or two in the secondary now. I mean, late in the Seattle game is a...
Yeah, but that's only happened really once, if you look at it,
okay.
As far as busts like that.
No, so it happened in the Arizona game, too.
Yeah.
Okay, you're right. Yesterday. That's right. No, it did not happen yesterday. Jalen got beat by DeAndre Hopkins, who's one of the best wide receivers in all football. I tried to explain that on the radio because everyone thinks that Jalen's never going to get beat. And I'm like, wait a second. If you're playing against the best wide receiver in football, or one of them, top two, he's going to make some plays. And that's going to happen. I don't care who you are. I mean, Jalen Ramsey is a fabulous player. But go back and watch when the Arizona Cardinals played Houston. Patrick Peterson got beat.
Right.
I mean, DeAndre Hopkins is a stud.
It's scary how good he could be if he actually had a quarterback.
Oh, my gosh. It's unreal.
Well, you saw what happened when the quarterback was out there for Houston.
Yeah. I mean,
they were scoring 34 points a game.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So you look at – and you know what's interesting, JP? You bring up the bus because they did have back-to-back weeks with that big bus. In both games, or two out of three games, that big bust.
Yeah.
Both those games were after Telvin Smith was not in there. And you wonder how much that has to do with stuff.
Yeah, it's a good point. Even on the back end, having the linebacker out, huh?
Maybe they have nothing to do with each other, but they coincided with each other.
Let's come back and let's delve into these young playmakers on offense who stood out yesterday for the Jags. Your call's coming up in the second hour. Jags are in the playoffs for the first time in a decade with a win yesterday over the Texans. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
I don't just do punt returns at practice. I have to do everything, like XZ, everything. So, you know, it was something that I knew I could do. It was something a lot of people knew I could do, but it just came out today. And, you know, unfortunately, Keith had to go down, but we're going to get him back healthy and ready to go for the run.
That's Jadon Mickens. Two touchdowns yesterday in fill-in duty. Marquise Lee went down with an ankle injury. So Mickens comes in the game and catches four balls for 61 yards and two scores. Jaguars Monday continues. J.P. Shattuck, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco is down in South Florida. Tony tonight at Raymond James Stadium in Tampa for Monday Night Football on Westwood One. The Falcons and the Buccaneers in the NFC South will.
We got the entire state covered.
That's right, and the only thing missing is Central Florida, Orlando. That's it. We got the other three covered tonight. Pete down in Fort Lauderdale. So Jadon Mickens, two touchdowns. Keelan Cole had 186 yards, seven catches, and nine targets. A touchdown on his game as well. Third straight game for a score for him. Dede Westbrook, couple of catches, 21 yards. Fairly quiet yesterday. But Cole and Mickens, I mean, 4 months ago, we didn't know who these guys were.
Any other quarterback in the league, if they would have done this, Pete, it would be a story that
right.
With a fourth-round rookie, a undrafted rookie, and a street-free agent who had never played in the NFL regular season, and you put up numbers like that? Come on.
That tells me that the quarterback's playing really good football, right? I mean, that's
right.
If there's ever an exhibit A as to how well he's playing, it's what he did on Sunday with those guys. And granted, that Texans defense isn't the same defense that we've seen over the years. They don't have Watt. They don't have Merciless. They're banged up.
Pete, they did it last week against Seattle.
I agree. Yeah, but this one was even worse with Cole and Mickens doing what they did on Sunday, though. Both of them.
He's putting in a spot, though, where they can catch and run and get 30 more yards down the field. That's what Blake Bortles
is doing.
Well,
that's because he's so accurate right now. JP, you're exactly right. He's so accurate right now that he allows guys to make plays after they catch the ball because he's hitting them in stride, right on the money, allowing the playmakers to make plays. I'll tell you what. I mean, you look at those three guys. How does Allen Hurns get back on the field? What do you do with him when he comes back healthy?
Right, and that's one thing you notice is how much quicker and faster they are, right? I mean, that stands out just from watching the tape.
I imagine they're fast.
Yeah. I imagine when you're on the field you're sitting there watching that, you're going, wow, they're so much faster.
I was talking at halftime, Andre Ware, who's the former Jaguar quarterback in the preseason of 95, Heisman Trophy winner at the University of Houston. Fourth overall pick by the Detroit Lions, and now the color guy for the Texans radio broadcast. He came out and he goes, "My goodness, you guys are fast. Where do you get all these fast guys?" And I just chuckled because we don't give him any credit. We don't even think twice about it, but I thought about it. He's right. They can fly. I mean, Cole is a burner. Westbrook can fly. And Mickens, I don't know how fast he is, but he is so quick. And, I mean, they could not – the Texans' defensive backs could not keep up with those three.
Tony, I want to ask you a question real quick, see if you can answer this. You can answer, but try and guess right. Where do you think the Jaguars rank in scoring and total offense?
Scoring, because they score on defense and special teams. And offensively lately they've been scoring a lot too. I think they're top – I'd say sixth in scoring, and I think yards fifth.
Wow, you had it opposite. They're fifth in scoring and sixth in yards. Pretty darn good.
Wow.
Yeah.
Tony must have read his notes tonight.
No, I haven't. I have not even looked. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I didn't think about the usually I spend more time post-game on the Jaguars, but I got the call for this Monday night game last night, and I've been focused on Falcons-Buccaneers, and haven't thought about much of the Jaguars game until we just had this, until the show tonight. But, and how about this, guys? I mean, we've been talking about the players, and you got to give Doug Marrone a ton of credit. I said this morning on Dan and Jeff's show. I think the philosophy he came with and the identity he wanted to establish did a couple things. And so he basically said at training camp, we're going to be a physical running football team and play great defense. And they had a physical camp, as physical as you can be in today's NFL with the CBA and everything. And what that did, it sent the identity of the football team. But, guys, I also think it allowed Blake to ease his way into the season and take the pressure off of him. That it wasn't about Blake Bortles. They basically said, Blake, just don't screw it up early, and we're gonna run the ball and play great defense. And what we've seen throughout the season, Blake get his confidence and footwork being better and better because his footwork has improved throughout the season, his pocket presence. And now all of a sudden, you add the dimension of him playing great quarterback, and you're like, my goodness. And I just give Doug Marrone a ton of credit. And then also, you look at Nathaniel Hackett. I mean, no one's has talked much about what he's done, but he's the architect of this offense. And the entire offensive staff from Pat Flaherty at the offensive line, and then Keenan McCardell with a group of guys. I mean, let's not forget, they lost their best receiver on the first play of the game in Houston.
That's right. Yeah, yep. Opening drive of the year. He was gone, and they've had to fill that hole throughout the season. Hey,
can I say one quick thing?
Do it,
JP.
Pete. Absolutely.
I am a voter. I am an AP voter. I am one of the 50. I vote for
Are
the MVP.
Really?
I vote for the coach of the year. I've been doing it for years. My coach of the year candidates right now are Doug Marrone, Mike Zimmer, and McVay. Those are it for me right now. And whoever closes out well and does the best will be the guy I vote for. And I'm going to sit here and say this, honestly. I was critical of Doug Marrone. I'll be honest about it. I didn't think, when he got hired, I thought there were better options. And I had my reservations about him. He's made me look like an idiot, okay? Because he's done a good job.
It's my favorite. You know what? This is the greatest thing I've ever heard in my life, because I've known you're an idiot for a long time, Pete. And the fact that Doug Marrone has proven that for you and made you realize that you are an idiot, gosh, that's the best thing Doug Marrone's done all year.
Oh, by the way, I'm going to give half the award when he does, if he does get it, to Tom Coughlin. Just kidding. I'm kidding.
Hey, let's come back, guys. We'll get the Tony Maselli Twitter question of the night still to come. Pro Football Focus grades. And your calls, 355-NFL-1. J.P. Shadrick in Jacksonville. Tony Maselli at Raymond James Stadium in Tampa. Pete Prisco at CBS Sports Studios in South Florida. Hour 2 of Jaguars Monday after this on Jaguars Radio.
Did ever really get to you, get under your skin, that you knew this was going to take time, but that wasn't happening like you wanted?
Well, I mean, I've been through life when I was a laughingstock in whatever business I was in, auto parts or what have you. And then you have to stay with it, and success comes. It's a story of perseverance.
Jaguars owner Shad Khan, after the game yesterday, spoke with the media after the Jags secured a playoff berth for the first time since 2007, and certainly the first time under his ownership. Jaguars Monday, second hour underway. J.P. Shadrick, Pete Prisco, Tony Boselli. That was a happy man yesterday, guys, after the game, obviously.
You know what, J.P.?
Relieved.
I got to see. You know, I don't think it was even relief, Pete. It was actually just pure joy. And seeing Shad afterwards, but also Tony, his son. And, you know, obviously I'm excited for the team and the players and Doug and his staff and Tom and what they've done and obviously the fan base and everything else. But it was a little bit even extra sweet for me, at least, looking at Shad and Tony yesterday and what they've done and how they've invested in the team and the city and how important it is and what great owners they've been. And giving the coaching staff and the players all the resources and everything you can ask for. I mean, everything's first class. They don't cut any corners. And that you can't say that about every NFL team. And, Pete, you know that better than anyone because you're like me around and you see how different teams do it. And they do everything first class. And for it to finally pay off in a playoff appearance and to really see the crowd and the stadium filled up, I was so happy for the Khan family, and because they do it right, and it finally got a little bit of a payoff.
Yeah, and they do, and they're good people, and you know, Tony, you were around when the Weavers came in, and Wayne Weaver and Dolores Weaver were very good people and did a great job of getting that thing started. And sometimes you wonder what's the next group of ownership going to be like, and you never really know until you sit down and you meet them and talk to them and everything, and see what they do. Well, this group of ownership has actually done it. They've done a really – Shad Khan's done a phenomenal job. And look around the stadium. All you have to do is see that amphitheater outside and what he's going to do across the street and the crowds and what they've done to the stadium and the scoreboards and everything else. I mean, they've made it first class. And you know, eventually he's going to – you know they're going to build their own practice facility because every team in the league needs that eventually, and I'm sure he will do that. So, yeah, it was a good moment, and I know Tony is so vested in the team with what he does with all his analytics and everything, and I like kidding him about all the analytics and stuff because I'm a film guy, but they do a really good job. They really do.
I love that Pete's a film guy. That's my favorite. Right. I mean, he's a film guy. You're a film junkie.
Breaks down the film, Tony. That's what he does.
Well, you know what? I don't get caught. You know, Tony. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Sometimes I'm joking with you, Pete. Yeah.
And I've had it, by the way, go ahead.
I don't like saying nice things about Pete, but I've said it before, and it is true. He is, I don't want to say one of the few, but one of the guys I know does it for sure. Even though I disagree with his opinion sometimes, and he is an idiot sometimes, at least he's an informed idiot because he does watch a lot of football.
Well, What does Pete always say? You're entitled to your own wrong opinion, right?
That's, no, he's entitled to his wrong opinion, which he usually has, by the way.
Hey, tonight, the Pro Football Focus grade should be pretty easy, Pete. They beat the hell out of the Texans.
Not so fast. I think we're going to get a little. No, we're going to get the guy in Tampa a little. We're going to get the guy in Tampa a little riled up. I think.
Oh,
maybe.
Really?
Yeah. We'll start
the quarterback has to be green.
Yeah, he's green. No doubt. High green.
Career high rating. Yeah, it can't be anything but green.
I mean, Keon Cole is green.
Correct. The highest rated
green.
Keelan Cole is the highest rated player on the offense. Green.
Yeah, okay. My guess is they put Cam Robinson is not green because they watched
red.
The TV copy and Clowney did flash a couple times, but I don't think it's major
red.
I disagree. That's why I said I disagree with that.
Lowest rated offensive player on the board is Cam Robinson.
Wow.
I'll just say this. I'm so tired of PFF because here's all you have to know is they rated – I read this somewhere last week. Correct me if I'm wrong, JP.
Okay.
They rated Cam Robinson as the 77th rated offensive tackle in the NFL.
I'll have to look at that.
There's only 64 starters. By the way. I mean,
he is ranked – I'll tell you exactly what he's ranked right here. You ready? He is ranked – 81st now, 81st in the league.
81st, yes, 81st offensive tackle, right? Not offensive lineman,
correct.
Offensive tackle.
Correct.
Yeah.
How is that even possible?
Because JP, it's dumb. They literally watch a TV copy, not having any idea what the concepts are, what techniques are being asked to do, you know, where the protection is going. They have no idea, and they are making comments like this. Because I promise you right now, if you were drafting left tackles in the NFL. There's not many guys that go before Cam Robinson.
If you went and drafted it again, he would go first of tackles. Huh? Would he go first?
Oh, last year's group, yes.
Yeah.
Last year's group, yeah. He's before Ramczyk or Garrett Bowles.
Yeah.
But, there's better offensive tackles in the league right now than Cam Robinson. I'm not saying that, but he's not 81st. Come on. If there's 64 starters, he's in the top 20.
But he had a little rough stretch there. Even you would admit last, like, four.
I agree. That's fine.
Yeah.
But,
81st he's been better the last week? You think he's been better the last couple weeks, Tony?
Yeah, he's getting better. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. There's one other offensive lineman who's in the red. Who was it?
Omame, maybe? I'm guessing because I don't think any of them should. Linder, no.
Linder.
No, none of them.
Well,
stupid.
He got pinged for penalties. Did he have penalties?
Oh, yeah, two false starts. Yeah, but one of them, he had a false start as an offense when he played offense, and then he used the wing in field goal, and he had a false start. So we're really going to count that against his offensive production.
The highest rated offensive lineman was who?
Parnell.
By far. Would you agree with that? Run blocking, he had the highest grade.
Yeah, I've said for the last year and a half, Parnell is a very good right tackle, and there are people who wanted to cut him last year, and those people don't know what they're talking about.
All right, let's go to the defense.
Where does he rank around among the league tackles, by the way, Pete?
Who cares?
I'll
if
get
it's
that
PFF,
after.
I don't care.
All right, let's go to the defense.
You know who hates PFF as much as I do, Pete?
Who?
Brian Baldinger. Hates it. Oh.
Oh, yeah.
I found
you know
a kindred spirit.
It? You know who else hates it? Steve Hutchinson hates it, too.
Yeah, because we know. We've watched.
Right.
We've played. We've watched. We watch tape. We understand what's really happening out there.
All right, let's go to the defense. Highest-rated defensive player is who?
Calais Campbell.
It'll be Calais, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. But there's somebody right behind him. He's at 4-5, which is an outrageously high number. Somebody's at 4-4. Who was it?
Malik Jackson.
No, Yannick. Would you agree with that, Tony? That he had
He had a lot. He had a lot of pressure. A lot of pressure.
Malik had another good grade. They pinged Avery Jones for his run defense. Yes.
Yeah, I don't think either. The last few weeks, I don't think Avery or Darius have played great.
Yeah, and Darius, his grade was minus as well. There's also the linebackers were all around the same. Nothing great, nothing bad, just right around the middling. Would you agree with that?
Okay. I don't even know what they how they grade, so sure.
I don't know what that means, but right. Sure. Okay.
The highest rated secondary the highest rated secondary player was who?
They're going to give it to Barry Church because he had the pick.
Nope.
Oh, really?
Aaron
A.J. Boye?
Aaron Colvin, probably.
Aaron Colvin.
Oh. Okay.
And then it goes, Barry Church was second, Gibson was third, Boye was fourth, and they pinged Jalen Ramsey with a major negative grade in pass coverage.
Jalen was hurt, and you could tell. His back was so stiff. He did not play as well as he's had. He just didn't. He was hurt, and it was obvious.
There was a mic'd up. He was mic'd up yesterday, by the way, for Jaguars.com. And there's
he said Prisco, they said on that mic.
Yeah, I thought it was Frisco with an F instead of
he
Prisco.
Said Prisco. Somebody said he said Prisco. I said, no, it can't be. They'd be on the offensive side. They'd be calling Prisco.
You're right. It's a Blake Bortles article.
What did
right?
he... But did he say anything about
it? Well, it was the end. He was talking to Todd Wash on the sideline because he wanted to go back in the game. He wanted to stay in the game and play. That's what Jalen wanted to do. But Todd was like, hey, if you go out, we're going to let you get the penalty for 12 men on the field. We're not taking a guy off. So you're staying on the sideline, basically. He's a competitor. He wants to go out and play even though he's banged up a little bit.
But
his
back is hurt.
Player. Yeah, oh, yeah, he's hurt. You could tell yesterday. He's a fantastic player, and he's also in the process of making himself – the most well-known villain in the National Football League, which I think is fantastic. He should embrace that, bask in it, eat it up, make money off it. This kid's got a chance to be the next special player at the quarterback position and be the Richard Sherman of the East Coast. Don't change, okay? Jalen Ramsey, do not change.
You love the villain, Pete.
Ah, it's great. And you know what? You know what that would be good for? That would be good for Jacksonville because Jacksonville doesn't get the attention it deserves nationally. They need somebody like that. You know that, Tony.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. I love it. I love Jalen. He just had a tough day yesterday. He was hurt. But I appreciate that he didn't make any excuses and he kept on battling out there. That's what I appreciate. Yeah. They're going to have days when you're not 100%. He fought his tail off against one of the best receivers in football. Came out on the short end a couple times. But that's okay. He can be, I mean, go compete. I appreciate that. I really appreciate him competing the way he did.
Yeah, and he'll get him twice.
And he made no
year,
excuses. So, yeah. And he made no excuses.
Yeah, he got him this time, so he's got two chances next year to get him again against the Houston Texans. Hey, let's get to the Tony Boselli Twitter question of the night. Sam Melchior has the question this evening. Do you feel a first-round bye could actually be a detriment to the Jags' current momentum as we go into the playoffs? What do you think, Tony?
No. Your chances of making the Super Bowl go up exponentially. You only have to win two games instead of three. A bye is never bad. No, I don't buy that at all. It gives you a chance to get guys like Jalen Ramsey a week off, Leonard Fournette a week off. You get Clayus Campbell, who's an older player, some rest. There's no scenario where it's a bad thing.
You want the bye. You definitely want the bye.
It's a long shot now, though, guys. They got to have some help to go get it.
Yeah, they're not getting the bye.
Well,
they can forget that now.
The Steelers don't play anybody. And I'm
right,
not.
They
who
play
do,
Houston
who do
and,
the,
they play Houston and Cleveland. They're not losing.
Yeah. No, right? And who does that, no. the who? Yeah, that's who Pittsburgh finishes with. Yes,
the Patriots
and
have
who
the Bills
does,
and the Jets.
New England.
Bills and the Jets.
They could lose. They could lose to the Bills. They could
not
lose
at home.
To the Bills.
They're not.
I don't think they will.
Not at home.
No,
Tony. Not at home.
Pete, I know. I'm not saying they will. They could. Like, the Steelers can't lose to those two teams. There's a chance where the Bills, with LeSean McCoy, they get the run game going and Tyrod Taylor running around. They have a chance. I don't think they're going to. I think it's a long shot. But I give no chance to either the Texans or the Browns of beating the Steelers.
No. So Jacksonville's pretty much, they're locked into the three seed pretty much.
But they're going to keep fighting tooth and nail until it's official, though. That's the way Doug's going to play.
Well, you got to win this week. You got to win this week. You win this week, you got the three seed worst case scenario. That's the key. If you don't win this week, then all bets are off. You don't.
And then that means that it'll either be Buffalo, Baltimore, or Tennessee coming to Jacksonville for a first round playoff game.
Well, I think Los Angeles has a chance still too, Pete. If they win out, they go 9-7, and Tennessee loses. I don't know how the tiebreaker goes there.
Yeah,
and then you have Buffalo loses. to New England. What's Buffalo right now? 9-5
They're
or
8-6 8-6 So the sixth.
Yeah. So Buffalo.
Today.
If Buffalo loses, so if LA wins out, they have a chance to sneak. They still have a chance because you have Buffalo still has New England. So let's say they lose, that's going to put them at 7
Yeah.
But you're right. I think the Chargers are in trouble because conference. Their conference record is worse than everyone else's. So you're right. Probably right. So it's probably going to be Baltimore or Buffalo.
And you'd rather play Baltimore or Buffalo than Los Angeles, wouldn't you?
Yes, 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 yes.
Oh, yeah. You don't want to see those pass rushers and Phillip Rivers. No.
By the way, I got a tweet from somebody that asked, is this team better than the 99 team? The answer to that question is no. Okay? No, no, and I'll say it again, no.
Why not?
It's not better. Why? That team had the number one defense as well, and they had a much better offense. They had Hall of Fame playmakers on that offense. They had Fred Taylor and Jimmy Smith, and the offensive line was 10 times better. No.
Yeah, I mean,
the quarterback was better.
We would have been able to block the pass rushers. I feel confident of that. And who's covering? I mean, you know what would have been a fun matchup, though, Pete? It's Jimmy Smith
and Jimmy.
And Jalen Ramsey. Oh, man. What a matchup that would be.
But
I'm telling you right now, I'm just telling you what we would do. I already know what we would do. If they played single high and put Jalen Ramsey out there one-on-one with Jimmy, we are checking to pass. Because our confidence was that there was nobody who could cover Jimmy.
And there wasn't.
And that would have been
interesting. And then you had Keenan working the middle of the field. And what about Fred Taylor? I mean, my gosh. You had Fred Taylor.
Oh, yeah, Freddie T. Freddie T was unbelievable.
And by the way, this is the number one defense in the league, right? Right? That offense would score on them. That offense would score on them.
Hey, guys, we're going to come back and get to phone calls tonight. 355-NFL-1 is the number. PRI Productions, the official event production company of the Jags, has everything you need to bring your next idea to life. Visit PRIProductions.com. J.P. Shatterk in Jacksonville, Pete Prisco in South Florida, Tony Boselli at Raymond James Stadium in Tampa. They're about to fire the cannons for Monday Night Football. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Anytime you can sit at the table, have a chance, punch a ticket to the playoffs, that's awesome. But I want to encourage the guys to stay focused. We got a lot of work to do, a lot more, just want to stay in the moment. Just enjoy it, enjoy the ride.
Glass Campbell.
AP.
Yes, Tony Boselli.
How about the tweet from Downer Jag fan?
Yes.
Of the picture of you today, what you looked like.
Yeah.
Last time the Jaguars are in the playoffs.
That's something.
Oh, it's great. You got to put that out there.
I retweeted it. Yes. That's Tony.
That is good. That's awesome.
Pete Prisco.
That makes me laugh.
Monday. It's been a while, right? I mean, I was a charming young lad back then. I mean, yeah. So.
I got another tweet that we didn't get to is I want to make sure because we were talking about how this fan base is different and everything else, and we kind of talked about that in the segment. And obviously one of the older fans said, will the current fan base show up at the stadium at 1 a.m. to welcome the Jaguars back in the playoffs? And he's referring to, or he or she, back when in 96, after the 97 play, it was 1997 January, after the 96 season, after we beat Denver, we flew home, and then 12:30, 1 a.m., there was, 40,000 people in the stands, Pete? I mean, it was unreal.
Yeah.
And that's why I want to – we're not comparing one fan base better than another. That's not the point. My whole point was this team has an opportunity to be like the – original Jaguars as beloved by the fan base because this is for this current generation of Jag fans, this is the first time they've experienced this. Much like the initial Jaguar fans when we won early, it was brand new. And so I know we always will have a special place in Jaguar lore and in the fan base, but this group has an opportunity to do the same thing just in a different way because of the circumstances that they found themselves in and how they've won, and if they can continue to do it for an extended period of time, 4 or 5 years, then they will be remembered, and if they win a Super Bowl, even greater than we were, which would be outstanding.
And here's the other thing. Like all those clubs that they have now, the fan clubs. What is it, Bold City Brigade? Is that
yes,
what it is?
That's right.
Brigade,
yeah. That's right.
And there's another one too, right? Isn't there a whole other group? The
Teal Street some, and the
yeah,
the Booster
yeah. They
Club
weren't around. Yep. They were not around back then. They did, nothing like that was around back then. That's these kids grew up with the team losing in 1999 when they lost that championship game. They're the kids who couldn't go to school on Monday. You know, they were agonizing over it. I'm not going to school. My team lost. They didn't go, right? Well, that wasn't the case back then. That's why this group is much more passionate about this team than even that group of fans was about yours, Tony. And that was – it was new then.
Gonna,
it was
I'm
all
– Yeah, I'm not going to say more passionate. It's a different kind of passion, Pete.
Right.
It's
yeah.
just different. It's not one's not better than the other. My whole point – Well, it doesn't matter. My whole
I'm
point
gonna
was
say
saying
I was around for all of it. I'm going to say that this group is better, okay? I'm going to admit that.
Okay, that's fine. I don't. You can do that. My whole point was this group, this team, has an opportunity to do something really cool if they can continue to build on what they've done this year. That's all I'm saying.
All right. Let's
so
go.
I don't want any old fans getting mad at me. Or
well, get mad at me because I'm telling you, they were great fans then, but this group is better because they grew up with it.
Pete, stirring the pot, okay. Tony. Listen to that.
I'll let him stir it. Let's well, stir away.
He agrees with me. Away. He just doesn't want to say it because he's got too many friends still around over there that he's got a glad hand with when he's
stir.
Doing commercials.
Stir away, Pete.
I love it. Let's go to the phone lines. 355-NFL-1. Brian has been holding for a bit in East Arlington. You'll start us off this evening. Brian, what's up? Good evening.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Oh, you know, just basking in the glow.
It feels good not to be involved in the suck this year, the suck conversation, and not talking draft. That's the nice thing. We're not talking draft in December. That's awesome. That's the first in quite a while for us. But I got a comment. I got a question. The first is my comment is I compare this team to the 99 team. The offense right now is playing just as good as the 99 offense, but it's not as talented, if that makes any sense. And then the 99 defense versus the defense now, I feel pretty confident that our defense now could stop Eddie George and Frank Wycheck from beating us up over the middle. The only X factor in it is whether Samari Roll would have Bortles' number the way he had Brunell's number. That's the only X factor in all that.
So let me say this about Brian. Let me comment on your comment. The danger of comparing teams, you know, from different eras, and it's no matter how, you know, whether it's Jaguar to Jaguar, it was such a, it's a, it was a different game back then too, because it was such a, it was a tighter game as far as offensively, it was more difficult. That's why you see great, better numbers now. It would make defenses very nervous if you had today's rules with Jimmy Smith, Keenan McCardle, and Fred Taylor. Because of how the game is played in space now. It wasn't like that. It was a tight field. And and McKean and I were talking about it on Sunday. If you were a receiver and you went across the middle on those crossing routes, you didn't see all the crossers like you did nowadays because you would get killed. I mean, it was just such a different game. So I'm not saying it's better or worse. It was just a different game. So as far as comparing the two teams, both, you know, I hope, let me say this. I hope this team's better than 99 because I hope they go to the Super Bowl and they would surpass what we did. And that'd be awesome. There's no one cheering for that more. But I think it's just so hard to compare eras.
You know what's amazing, though, Tony, when you look at it? If Mark Brunell put up the numbers that he put up in 99 now, he would be criticized for not being good enough.
Yeah, oh gosh, yes. But no one put up numbers back then like they do now.
No, I know, but you know what his numbers were that year? No, not even.
20 touchdowns? 99?
No,
I don't remember.
He threw 14-9 that year. It wasn't a good year. You know what his completion percentage was that year? 58.7. His rating was 82. Read Bortles numbers across the board, JP,
yeah.
Right now.
Right now, stand by. Let me get to them in just a second. It's similar. But it's better than that.
Pete, you'd agree.
It's a different
game. Agree, though. It's a completely different game.
A different game.
Could you imagine if you couldn't contact Jimmy Smith and beat him up down the field like they used to be able to?
Hey, here's Bortles' numbers right now.
Bortles numbers, 19 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, an 89.7 rating right now.
So he's better. Yeah. What's his completion percentage?
He is 61%.
So across the board, Blake Bortles' numbers are better than Mark Brunell's numbers in 1999. And there is no way that Blake Bortles is a better quarterback than Mark Brunell. It's just the game is different. It's a different game.
Well, the one you want to really look at, go look at John Elway numbers throughout his history.
Right.
He was an under a 60% completion guy.
It's amazing. It's
just because the game's so different. It's such a different game. You forget, everyone forgets that back when I played, I mean, you could beat up receivers everywhere and you could kill them across the middle.
John Elway was 57% career passer, by the way. 57.
Yes. You understand, there was no defenseless receiver. All the hits that all the media want to cry, you know, just lose their minds about as being immoral and guys get suspended, that if you didn't do that, there was something wrong. Those were the highlights on SportsCenter every night. You know the peelback blocks that Thomas Davis got fined for 2 games? If you didn't do that, you were questioned. It was a different game. It's not
and
even
the
same.
And the pre-snap movement and ball out and matchup, that wasn't the same game. I mean, you look at the numbers.
No.
I mean, it's an entirely different game. I mean, Jimmy Smith.
Could you imagine? Oh, gosh.
He was phenomenal.
He was Julio Jones.
And how many catches do you think he had that year? He had 116.
Wow.
Yeah.
116. Wow. And Keenan caught 78.
You imagine Fred Taylor in the space. I think we're the number two rushing team in the NFL that year as well. Imagine him in the space game today.
Oh, no. You guys, here's your ranks. You were 6th in points, 7th in yards on offense. You were 17th in passing attempts. You were in rushing. You were 2nd, Tony, in rushing. Correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. By the way, John Elway had double-digit interceptions every year of his career, by the way. He always had 10 or 4.
I'm just telling you. And he's considered one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game.
That's right.
It just, you didn't see quarterbacks, you know, in the old system, in the cover two, you wouldn't throw it down the seam as much because the guy would get killed. Because that safety could come take your head off. You can't do it anymore.
What was Elway's yards per attempt, JP?
Yards per attempt. 7.1 for the career?
Yeah, see, that wasn't even that good.
Let's go back to the phone lines here, guys. Let's continue 3-5. Oh, they fire the cannons, Tony. I can hear them.
The cannons are going, guys.
Yeah.
The cannons are going.
Fire
duck,
the
Tony, duck.
Fire the cannons.
They're putting John Gruden in the their Ring of Honor, whatever they call it here.
That's kind of weird they're putting their next coach in the Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
Let's go to the west side and say good evening to Jerome on the line. Oh, Jerome, let's go to Darren in Mandarin. Darren, what's up? Darren, you're on the air.
Hey, good evening, guys. Two quick comments, by the way. I was at the 99 game, and I realized how special that event was now that I turned 50 this year. Wow, what a special event that was, and I'm looking forward to another great run. Two quick questions. One, does the Jaguars take week 17 as a bye week, possibly, if they lock up the division this coming weekend? And then my second question is, what do you think that the other contending teams for the AFC that possibly get into the playoffs are talking about on their radio shows tonight about the Jaguars? And I have
all right. Thanks for the call.
So, week 17 is easy for me. I'll answer quickly. Pete, you disagree if you like. Under no circumstances do you treat it as a bye. You're too young. This is new territory, and I think it's a division game. You want to dominate the division, and you want to send a message to Tennessee just in case you do have to play them again.
And you might be able to get rid of them. I mean, that's the other coin.
That's
if they lose today, you might be able to get rid of them. So, no, they're too young. They don't treat it as bye. But you might take a guy like Calais Campbell and not play him the entire, or Malik Jackson or some of those guys, right?
You might limit their reps.
Correct. That's what I would do.
What are other teams,
and then what was the other one?
Other teams in the AFC, what are their radio shows talking about the Jaguars right now?
Watch out for the Jaguars. That's what they're talking about.
Yeah, they're talking about the defense more than anything. I still don't think teams give the offense and Blake Bortles the credit that they're due, but they do respect and they fear the defense.
Well, Jadeveon Clowney called the quarterback trash after the game.
How could he say that?
Yeah, he might want to look at the scoreboard.
He just butchered his name, didn't he, JP?
Yeah, he tried. No. He stopped in the middle of it.
He stopped. Yeah, you did.
No, because I stopped. No, I stopped because Pete was getting ready to talk.
No, I don't think so. I don't think
so. You guys are both idiots.
Hey, we're going to come back. We'll get more of your calls, 355-NFL-1. It's our final segment with Tony, so we'll preview Monday Night Football. He's at
Look at that picture on Jaguars.com.
How about that? If you're watching the video feed.
What picture is it?
It's me looking like the kid 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah, good. I like that. I'm glad they put that up.
More calls when we return. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
This year, you felt like we had a special group, and we never really said, you know, that this is our specific goal, but you knew that if we followed Coach Marone's formula, we'd have a chance. So just the fact that we know we're in the playoffs is an awesome feeling.
Paul Posluszny in the postseason for the first time in his 11 years in the National Football League. First time he's had a winning record, in fact. Jaguars Monday continues. JP Shadrick, Tony Buscelli, Pete Prisco. Tony's in Tampa. Pete Prisco down in South Florida. Let's continue with a couple more phone calls, and we'll get to tonight's Monday Night Football game coming up. Let's start off in East Arlington. Matthew's been on hold for a bit. What's up, Matthew? Matthew, you're on the air.
Hello. How are you guys?
What's happening?
I'm doing good. Thank you. My question is about Eric.
He's in a tunnel or something. Where is he? You all right?
Where is he? I mean, Matthew, underwater? I mean, do we need to rescue you? I mean, are you in a pothole?
Sorry.
I mean, where are you?
Sorry. I just got a big house. Echoey. So
what's up?
Oh, now we're showing off. Big house.
Showing off. Big house. Great.
Humble brag.
What's up, man?
Anyway. Big win this week. Loved it. My question is when it comes to the off season. I love our, you know, DBs, but I'm wondering about Aaron Colton. This is his contract year, and I'm wondering if we keep him.
He's gone. He's leaving. Someone's going to pay him top corner money.
So who do you think we bring in, or do we just train up Jalen Myrick?
All right, I mean, you can go maybe get a free agent as your nickel. You go draft a young guy, maybe it's Myrick.
Yeah.
You'll train somebody, but you can't pay three corners. I mean, it's just impossible.
Yeah, and that's the idea with your nickel position. You want to develop a guy, and hopefully he's to the point where he leaves and you get another guy and develop. I mean, you can't keep them all. It's just impossible.
It'd be nice, but it is impossible. It is a premium position in the NFL. Let's go to Jim on the south side. Jim, good evening. What's up?
Yes, how you doing?
Great. What's going on?
Good. Yeah, I wanted to talk about the game last night and whether – I was watching with a few friends of mine. We had a debate on whether when you catch the ball in the end zone and you break that plane, as soon as the ball breaks the plane and you have possession, I thought it was a touchdown. Because I don't know how many times I've seen the receiver break that plane, come to the ground, and the ball goes out, flying out, but it's a touchdown. So I'm confused. What's the right call there?
So if it's in the process of the catch, then you have to finish the catch through the ground. If you've already established the catch and are making a football move, you then, as soon as you cross the plane, it is a touchdown. But like I said, if you catch it and you're falling across the plane of the goal line, you have to finish the catch through the ground. That's the basic rule. It's a goofy rule, but that's it.
Yeah, and I thought when I watched it, he went to the ground and he had the football in his right hand and it kind of spun in his hand, but he never lost control of it, and then it hit the ground. But under the context of the rules, I thought they called it wrong. I like the rule that you have to control it to the ground no matter what. Makes it easier to make the call. But I thought he controlled it, Tony. I really did. And you know what? That was a big call for Jacksonville, because if that's a touchdown, they went out, they would get the two seed. Yeah.
We're yelling at the TV in the studio here, by the way. Yeah, it was awful.
It's the first time in my life I was rooting for the Steelers.
And how do you know it hit the ground anyway?
Well, I mean, you can tell that I thought that the tip of the football did, but I thought he controlled it in his right hand, I'll be honest with you. I think if somebody takes that and blows it up, they will see what I saw. The ball did spin from his left hand, but it can control in his right hand. You know, Tony, you talking about the Steelers? Did you see who tweeted out a picture before the game in his Steelers garb up there?
No.
Leon!
Oh, I did.
Leon Searcy, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did see that. Yes,
come on, Leon.
That.
Leon, you aren't a Steeler.
He needs to pick sides.
What would you tell him in that? If you saw him, Tony, would you give him crap about that?
I'd laugh at him, but he played in 95. In 95, he was on that Super Bowl team and that played the Cowboys in Arizona. So he has history there.
I remember actually going up to him and saying, hey, Jacksonville's going to sign you in free agency next year. And he looked at me, you know, Leon, I don't know. And I said, no, they're going to sign you. And they did.
Yeah. Immediately, day one, he was the first one.
Hey, look, he went to a Super Bowl with the Steelers, Tony, but he got his money from the Jaguars.
There's no doubt.
That's true, Pete.
There's no doubt about that. Hey, it's our final few moments with Tony Boselli, so we'll do an early edition of Monday Night Football. It's a battle in the NFC South from Raymond James Stadium in Tampa. Matt Ryan and the 8-5 Atlanta Falcons, currently the 6th seed in the NFC playoffs. They visit Jameis Winston and the 4-9 Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They've lost 3 straight and 8 of the last 10 in a season to forget. Who you got tonight, Tony, and why?
I think the Falcons are going to kill them.
I do, too.
Close. I mean, listen to these numbers, Pete. You probably already know this, but Tampa Bay's defense, they're 31st in total defense, 22nd in scoring, 17th rushing, last in passing, last in third down conversion, last in sacks, last in yards given up per play. I mean, they're just terrible. I mean, they're bad.
And
they're a bad football
team. No players.
Jameis
no
Winston.
Players.
Yeah, no players. Well, and tonight, the Levante David's out, probably their best linebacker. Gerald McCoy, their best defensive lineman. And Vernon Hargraves, arguably their best corner, all out with injury.
Good luck, Smitty. Good luck with
and
that.
And three weeks ago when these teams played, Julio Jones had 253 yards receiving and 2 touchdowns. It's an interesting game for the Falcons, though, Pete. Yeah, it's huge because they beat New Orleans last Thursday night, so they get to 8-5. They control their own destiny. If they win out, they play Tampa tonight, so they should win. They'll be at 9-5, one game back behind the Saints and the Panthers. But they play the Saints and the Panthers to finish the season out. If they win both, they'll be the NFC South champs and the number 3 seed most likely.
And there's a chance all 3 of them make the playoffs, too, by the way, which would be interesting.
I think all 3 do make the playoffs. I think they all 3 make it, Pete.
Yeah, that would be interesting. By the way, Tony, you know what I love about you? I work with a lot of guys that do, like Brady Quinn and some other guys, they do the games on Sunday and stuff or whenever. They won't pick the game they're doing. The great thing about you, you just put it out there and pick it.
Well, I've never understood that. That is so dumb. Like, why?
I agree.
Why, like, does it mean like I'm not rooting for the Falcons? I just think they're going to win.
Right. Right. I love it.
It's not like I've
never understood
that. You
don't
have money on it or anything, you know?
No, I've never understood that. You're like, you know, an ESPN Kirk Herring Street. Oh, I can't pick the game. I'm doing it tonight.
Right. Right.
Who cares?
Right.
Are you kidding me?
Just pick the game. Pick the game.
Honestly, you're not that important.
No, you're not.
But, it's not, you know, the big story here on. When you look at Tampa, is Dirk Cutter going to be the coach next year? And just having some conversations with people in the organization that aren't on the coaching staff, it's 50-50 right now. You know, I think some people think he will. You read some things that, you know, there's questions not only whether he'll be back, whether the GM will be back.
Who do you replace?
You know, because there's basically four owners. There's 4 Glazers that all own the team equally. And I think Joel Glazer is the main guy, who is the football guy, but all his siblings, they're all in it together. So there's no telling what they're going to do down here. I think they need to bring Dirk back, Pete, because you don't want to get in that. You don't want to become Cleveland where every couple of years you fire a coach. You know, they Lovie Smith was here 2 years. They fired him. Before that, what was it, Greg Schiano?
Yes,
right. And he was there like 2 years. They fired him. Before that, it was Raheem Morris. He was here 3 years. They fired him. You know, it's like at some point you need some, at least fake it, that you have stability. And
what's the crowd like? What's the crowd like tonight?
It's empty right now. There's no one here.
Yeah, yeah. That to me is what that usually flips the coach. If you have a late season game and there's nobody there, that flips the coach.
Now the around the pirate ship, there's a bunch of people, you know, drinking and hanging out. And on the other deck, it's a pretty, you know, it's half full. You got all the, you know, Warren Sapp's here, and you got Derek Brooke, a couple Hall of Famers here for the Gruden induction into their Ring of Honor, whatever they call it. So it'll be interesting. It'll be fun. It's Monday Night Football. I mean, I love it. I like any football game. The lights are on. It's the only game on in the nation. It'll be fun. And I think this Atlanta team, they're not the same team as they were last year because they're not that good offensively. Like, they were not the dominant offense they were under Sarkisian. And here's a crazy number. You want to hear some nutty numbers that make no sense. Julio Jones, when Matt Ryan targets Julio Jones in the last two games, he has a 41% completion percentage, two interceptions, zero touchdowns, and a 26.7 quarterback rating.
Oh. Wow. Yeah, it's just
this
weird.
Is the best receiver.
And he's
Julio Jones only has three touchdowns for the year.
Yeah, he's dropped
Julio
a few
only
now.
Has three touchdowns. Yeah.
Yeah. They just haven't been the same offense. But I'll tell you what, they're that team that can get it going down the stretch and become the team nobody wants to play in the postseason. That's who they
I agree, because their defense is much better.
Yeah. Tack McKinley's getting it going
last year.
For him. Right? McKinley's getting it going for him
yes.
in pass rusher.
Yes.
You know, they still have Beasley who can rush the passer. They have young, fast
Beasley's
linebackers.
Not having a great year, though.
No, he's not.
Deion Jones is like Telvin Smith. He is good.
And Grady Jarrett's a hell of a player on the inside, too.
Oh, great player. So, yeah, I like the Falcons are going to be interesting. The NFC South is the best division in all of football, bar none. It's not even close,
except
in my opinion.
Other than the Bucs.
But, yeah, but three of the four are
yeah.
I mean, really
yeah,
good
oh,
football
yeah.
teams, Pete.
Yep, absolutely.
All right. Where else do you have that?
You
hey,
don't.
Hey, Tony, have a fantastic call tonight on Monday Night Football at 8:30 kickoff time for the Falcons and the Bucs.
JP, I did miss you up there today. I will be in tomorrow to come do our little breakdown.
I like it.
So yeah. I'll get to see you then. But I miss you.
I miss you too, buddy. I tell you. You know, you're only 4 hours away. He doesn't miss Max at all, though. That's okay.
That's touching.
How's Hollywood doing? Did Hollywood bring food tonight?
Hell no, he did not. And I'm angry.
That's embarrassing. I will be there to deal with Hollywood. He will feel the wrath, my wrath, tomorrow when I show up there. The fact that he did not have the decency to bring food for you, JP, frankly, is unacceptable.
I'm withering away, Tony. I really am.
Now, that's not why. I mean, you don't need it, but.
Tony, we'll talk
wow.
to you later. Yeah, it's great. Tony, we'll talk to you a little bit later in the week. Pete, we'll come back, you and I, and go
yes.
around the National Football League, including
absolutely.
An ownership change coming in Carolina. The final moments of Jaguars Monday after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HenneyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
The JTA Game Day Express features two downtown locations along with rides from the north side, JTB and Phillips Highway, and the beaches. Buy your tickets now at JTAFLA.com. Final moments of Jaguars Monday. Tony Buscelli's out of here getting ready for Monday Night Football. So the show just got better. JP Shadrick, Pete Prisco down in South
Now the
Florida.
Rings will go up, JP.
Way
go
up.
Back up again.
Way
oh, yeah,
up. Huge. So let's go around the National Football League. And, Pete, the biggest story from the league the last few days is the status of the Carolina Panthers. Jerry Richardson will sell the team at the end of the season. This seems to have escalated fairly quickly in the last few days, at least the stories around this.
Yeah, and it's not a good look for the owner of the team. And if he's indeed did what he's alleged to have done, it's a bad situation in Carolina. He put the team up for sale, and he's stepping down running the day-to-day operations, which, you know, how much was he doing anyways in terms of the day-to-day operations when you have a coach and a GM who he put in place, Marty Herney? So, look, bottom line is team will be sold. Here's an interesting dynamic, JP. Mm-hmm. What happens if Carolina gets hot and gets to the Super Bowl and Goodell has to hand the trophy to a guy who's selling the football team because he had to sell the football team?
That's a good point, right? If he stepped down from the day-to-day operations, is that still in his job duty? He's not his job. He still owns it.
At that time, he was still on the team. Yeah. So it'll be interesting. It's not a good situation at all for Carolina. I don't think it'll affect the product on the field at all. They'll win or lose no matter what, not because of what happened with the front office, but still never a good look for an organization.
No, not at all. And it is not a good look at all. You're right. They could get hot, right? I mean, they got a quarterback. They got some
pieces.
Well,
they play Tampa Bay this week coming up, and then they have Atlanta on the road. And if they win out and New Orleans loses a game, they can win the division. So, yeah, it's possible. And they play better the last couple weeks.
They have. They're 10-4 currently. We briefly touched on this in a phone call earlier, the end of the Patriots-Steelers game. Catch or no catch, we heard the explanation from Tony on the rule. But what the heck has Ben Roethlisberger doing on the fake spike after it?
It was an awful clock management situation, once again, by many teams in the league. They all blow it. He blew it. And then blamed the coaching staff. Look, the bottom line is they completed a pass to the sideline, got lined up with about 20-something seconds, and should have either done one of two things, thrown a fade into the end zone or spiked the ball and gone from there. The field goal ties the game. You go to overtime. I don't know what he was thinking. He blamed the sideline. They told him to not clock it. He was going to clock it, he said. They told him no. He ran the play. You don't throw inside in that situation. You throw the ball to the outside, throw it up. If it's caught by your receiver, you win. If it's not, you maybe get another play. If not, you kick your field goal and you go to overtime. It was a bad clock management, and that was lost in what happened with the James play, because all anybody ever wants to do nowadays is complain about the officiating. The bottom line is blame the Steelers as well. They blew that game. And oh, by the way, they let Tom Brady hit Rob Gronkowski for 69 yards on the final game-winning drive to go win it in about a minute and a half.
Oh, yeah, and the two-point conversion after that, too,
right.
When they scored.
Yeah. Bad. Yeah. Bad.
Here's a question, by the way. I think we got this on Twitter earlier tonight. We didn't get to it. If the Jags face up against the Patriots, who covers Gronk?
You know, you would like to think Miles Jack or Telvin, and you would double them. I wouldn't put Ramsey on him as much as that would be tempting because he's a taller guy, and maybe they do. But you got to double him. Look, he killed Sean Davis. Sean Davis tried to play him man-to-man. Sean Davis is a physical safety who can run a little bit, and he destroyed him. At some point, you could see him looking over, asking him, will you guys ever give me help? I mean, you take him away and make him beat you with the other guys. That's what I would have done.
Interesting to see. And, that would be a fun – I don't know if it would be a fun matchup. It would be something to watch, though. Must-see TV for the Jags and the Patriots there. Let's see. The Bills got a win. They're hanging in there, 24-16 over the Dolphins. What do you think of this Bills team? Can they hang on and stay in this thing?
I think that comes to a screeching halt this week at New England. I don't see them going into Foxborough and beating the Patriots. They've traditionally had all kinds of problems there. You know, the one thing they might get is the Patriots might be a little, you know, coming off an emotional win the way they did. They might be a little down, but the number one seed's still hanging in the balance. So I don't see that happening. I still think that they're going to play hard, the Patriots, and I don't think the Bills will beat them. So I think that pretty much does in the Bills provide, you know, based on, you know, look, you got to figure the Ravens are winning out. They play the Colts, and then they play the Browns to close. Mm-hmm. No, they play the Bengals to close out the season at home. They're not going to lose those two games. So it could be Tennessee, could be in danger. Tennessee's in danger. If they lose both their remaining two games, they would be, what, 8-8? They could be out.
They could be out, right? And would Mike Mularkey survive that?
Doubtful. And the reason I say that is, John Robinson, the general manager, didn't hire Mike Mularkey. He inherited him.
Usually those
guys want their own guys. Here's the other thing about the Titans. Were it not for a few breaks here and there, they would be under 500 now.
They should have lost to the Browns in overtime.
And should have lost to the Colts. Remember, yep. Marlon Mack fumbled when they were up 10 late in the game. They should have lost that game too.
There's at least two others outside of those they should have lost.
Well, and the Texans, they had a rough go with the Texans at home a couple weeks ago. They're not a very good team right now, the Titans.
They might have a new coach if they don't get in the postseason. We'll see. So how about the Eagles? Nick Foles gets the start, 24-38, 237, and he throws four touchdowns in his first game in starting after Wentz is gone for the year, and the Eagles rally to win the game against the hapless Giants.
Yeah, but you know what's disturbing to me about that for the Eagles is that they gave up 475 yards or whatever passing to Eli Manning.
Sure did.
That means 2 weeks in a row, a defense that had been playing pretty good football because they struggled against the Rams on offense, on defense last week too. They've been hit the last couple weeks. They got to tighten that up going into the postseason because let's face it, Nick Foles ain't throwing four touchdown passes every week. They got to play better on defense. So to me, that was the, you know, people want to focus on Nick Foles from that game. To me, I'll look at the other side and say that defense has to play better.
Saints won again. Breeze had a couple of scores. Ingram had a couple of scores on the ground. Kamara just had a pedestrian game, but they got it done. They have 10 wins. The Saints are right there among the teams to beat in the NFC, aren't they?
Yeah, and they play Atlanta next week in New Orleans. So, you know, if they lose that game, then they'll be the team that could end up being the wild card down the road. And so, yeah, they kind of lollygagged through that game on Sunday. The Jets hung around for a while. They finally pulled away in the end, had a long run late in the game by Mark Ingram to kind of put it away. But they got to be better than what they had. Larry Warford, the right guard, went off on that game. His status bears watching because one thing about Drew Brees, he needs solid guard play. And if he doesn't have solid guard play, it's going to be a problem.
The Seahawks lost their identity, I think, when they came to Jacksonville and they got blown out by the Rams.
You know, it used to be you go play Seattle and the next week you're beat up pretty much and it takes a toll on you. Well, maybe that's what happens when you play Jacksonville
now.
That's
right.
Because Seattle was awful on Sunday.
Bad.
Granted, K.J. Wright wasn't there on defense, and Bobby Wagner had a hamstring pull and should have been on the field probably. But they were terrible. The offense was atrocious, too. I mean, they sacked Russell Wilson 7 times. He was jumpy. He was seeing ghosts at times. And now the question is this. Are the Seattle Seahawks, as we've come to know them the last 5-6 years, are they done? Is that group finished?
Is the window closing? Yeah.
And you know what the answer to that question is? Yes, it is. And I think they need, you know, there's a rumor out there now of them talking about trading Russell Wilson. That would be foolish.
Yeah, what was that about? That was today it came up, right?
Yeah, where did that come from? I mean, they need to do the exact opposite. They need to build that team in around him. Get better offensive linemen, get him some better weapons outside, and you know, get a running back that can stay on the field and carry the football, you know, 300 times a year.
And this is Pete Prisco saying this about Russell Wilson.
Yes, of course. They've always been a run game and a defense, and the defense has gotten old and broken down and injured and everything else, so they got to flip it around and try and build it around him.
What's going on with the Raiders? Are they done, and is Jack done?
They're done. I don't think Jack's done. You know, I keep hearing, you know, the owner and Jack have a close relationship. I don't think he's done. The quarterback hasn't played very well either. And, you know, here's the other thing about Jack. He fired his offensive coordinator last year, Bill Musgrave, second time he got him because he got him in Jacksonville too. And then he fired his defensive coordinator during the season. And, you know, he has a tendency to do that. At some point, Jack's got to look in the mirror and say, hey, wait a second, maybe it's me. I think he gets another year. I think the quarterback, for all the money they're paying him, he has to be better.
All right, there's our look around the National Football League in Week 15. Can the Jags finish the last 2 weeks here with W's and the division would be theirs at that point? Do you think they can can they do this?
I think they win at San Francisco this week and get the division title and pretty much lock themselves into the third seed. But I'll tell you this, be careful out there this week. That's not going to be the game that everybody thought it would be. That 49er team is playing better. Reuben Foster is a hell of a player, linebacker. And Jimmy Garoppolo is playing really good football, and Kyle Shanahan has done a great job of scheming that thing up. So be careful there this week, but I still think they find a way to win the game, lock up the division, and pretty much lock up the 3 seed, which you know what that means? Home playoff game in Jacksonville for the first time since. Party like it's 1999.
1999, man. That would be fantastic. And
we'll I had hair back then still, I think.
I think I did, too. I was a senior in high school, Pete, in 1999.
I was covering that, and you know what? They unveiled that week, don't you?
We still haven't played that yet. We're not playing it. We're not doing it, Pete. We're not going to play
that
song.
We're going to play it. We're going to play it one time.
Hey, Pete, well done. We'll talk to you next week on Jaguars
Monday. We're not going to talk to you next week because it's Christmas. We're not doing a show next week.
That's right. So 2 weeks, New Year's night. before the Sugar Bowl and all that goes on. So yeah, correct. after the regular season finale. So we'll talk to you.
Have a good Christmas, JP.
You too, bud. Absolutely. And we'll see if the Jags can get it done in San Francisco. Thanks, Pete. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. Pete,
you got it. Take care, JP.
Pete Prisco, CBS Sports senior writer. Tony Boselli was with us from Raymond James Stadium in Tampa tonight for Monday Night Football. Our entire crew, Scott Kushner stepping in tonight for Joe Fortunato and Max Hockman. Hollywood on the video. For everyone involved, I'm JP Shadrick. Thank you for listening. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.